Good evening. It is, 7 p.m. here on a Sunday in the great city of Pittsburgh, PA, where I record my stuff. I wanted to start today off with just a brief kind of message here. I really haven't thought about the losses lately because I've just been busy with some other stuff, but I would like to throw out that I was doing some cleaning today in my place, and I have a desk in my place that was from my grandfather's house, my dad's father's house, where I put all of kind of the obituary type stuff of people that I've lost in my life. So I have my grandfather, my grandmother, my good friend Tim, then a lady who lived next to my grandparents. I have her little card, and then I have my dad's card. And as I was cleaning today, I saw it out of the corner of my eye, my dad's card, and was just... It just kind of hit me like a ton of bricks. I just sat there and I was, you know, thinking, like, I don't understand why this happened. I don't understand why it is the way it is. And he should still be here. 100%. He should still be here. I guess I really hadn't thought about it like that in a really long time. I hadn't had any of those thoughts. I hadn't really processed the grief over the last couple weeks. I've been starting a new job and taking an exam that I passed and did really well on. I believe I did well on it. It was the hardest test I've ever taken in my life, but I passed, so there's that. It's just something that it kind of jumps out at you. And that's, I think, when I talk about grief ebbing and flowing. It's the grief just kind of jumps out at you and you don't have any warning for it whenever it hits you. It hit me like a ton of bricks when I just kind of saw that on my table. And now that's been on my table literally since he passed. And anytime I go to a funeral home or anything for a family friend or anyone, we get those little cards. And my mom has it in the house on our china cabinet, but it wasn't something that just jumped out at me. Like, his card jumped out at me on my desk today. I was unprepared for it. I wasn't prepared to... I knew it was there. Don't get me wrong. I knew it was there. But I wasn't expecting when I was cleaning my desk off that that would be the first thing that I saw. It doesn't make any sense. This whole process doesn't make any sense. I was talking to a friend of mine the other day. We went out to a evening concert. Buffalo Rose was the band that we saw, and they were at a community park, the Aspinwall Waterfront Park down in Aspinwall, PA. We went with, it was my mom and I, our good friend Jeannie and her daughter Jess, and our really good friends Jim and Kathy were there. And Jeannie had saw this band, and she really liked listening to them. She actually discovered it from Alexa, I believe, and started listening to them and found out that they were playing a concert in this park. And so one thing led to another, and we all met up together and went to this park and listened to the music together. It was a really good band. I really did enjoy their music, and I think I'll see if I can follow them. But anyways, it was at the end of the concert. I was walking out with Jess. It was kind of one of the first times that we actually really talked about grief together. And I told her that I'd really like to get her on the show at some point so that we can have this shared discussion, maybe more in detail. She, like myself, spent a lot of years in therapy, just left a job as a director position at a company in Pittsburgh called Meraki, is going into the insurance business, working from home, but also still does her direct support for another company for other patients. So she's a licensed professional counselor. I'm a social worker. So we kind of are in the same field. And when I worked at the hospital, I worked with people that she was like, that she knew because kind of the same programs intertwined. So I think we looked at grief differently than a lot of people because we are in these fields that are very taxing on us, very emotionally taxing. And when I was talking to her, she recently lost her father. Her father was Tom, who was my dad's best friend. And 50 years, they were apart for 6 weeks, and now they're together again. It's for me, that loss I thought had been more difficult than my own father's passing. And the point that she brought up was like this feeling of just overall numbness with everything. And just this lack of feeling when it comes to this. Like, we're just kind of running through life on a total feeling of not having any feeling at all. I agree with that. I think the last 9 months or 10 months, however long it's been, I've been basically running on autopilot. I haven't really thought, you know, days have come and gone without much thought in between them. One of my favorite parts of life is coming up soon, college football. Every Saturday when my dad was alive, we would watch Ohio State games together. Every Saturday. If it was like an afternoon game, we probably wouldn't watch it together. But if it was an evening or late night game, we would make the time to watch the game together. And it's going to be really difficult, I think, this football season to not have him to watch these games with. Same thing with going to Steelers games together. My dad had season tickets at Heinz Field since the stadium opened. We would always go to Sunday football games together to see the Steelers play. And also, Tom had season tickets, so we would see Tom all the time at these Steelers games. And it's going to be really different this year. We still have those tickets after my dad passed, and we still have them today. So yes, we are going to have to go to games. My mom and I are going to have to go to games together. But it's going to be a lot different. It's going to be a lot different without my dad being there. And without Tom being there, for that matter. At the end of last season, Tom had texted me on a number of occasions and said, "Hey, do you want to go to the game this weekend? You know, what do you want to do?" And I couldn't bring myself to go to those games. On the plus side, the Steelers weren't very good, but I couldn't bring myself to actually show up to those football games. It would have been really difficult, I think, to explain to the people that sat next to us all those years why my dad wasn't there. And not that I think we're going to have to explain that, but I think it's going to get to a point where we do have to say, "Hey, this happened." And there is a guy that sits next to us who worked in my dad's office, and they were friends for a while, and they had those seats since the beginning of time. And that's a guy that I think he already knows. It's likely that he already knows. But again, it's just going to be another one of those moments where we're talking to people who don't have anything that they can really say because they're feeling numb as well. I think that one of the things that we talked about when we talked about our shared numbness that we have, one of the things that comes up for me is that I figured that my dad wasn't going to make it when he was in the hospital because I knew how those types of things worked from seeing it in the same light at the hospital that I worked at. I was thankful with my dad that I was able to spend 6 days in the hospital with him to tell him how much I loved him, how thankful I was for his leadership in my life, and how I was going to forever miss him. There's not a day that goes by that I don't think of him, but it did jump out at me today when I was cleaning to see that on my desk. Seeing his smile, seeing him, the little picture that we chose for his card has him holding up his WWE belt after he won the club championship last year. And congratulations to the guy that won the Yakitori Country Club Championship in 2024. I know that it was difficult for a lot of those golfers that competed in that event to have to do that event without my dad. But they did get to see him smiling on the plaque that sits at the first tee of the country club. So that was really, really nice. I think that's something that's going to be really awesome for all of those guys that really enjoyed his company. I think about my dad's impact on my life daily. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be here today. I definitely wouldn't be a Buffner. I mean, there's a chance that I would still be alive without him, but I wouldn't know what a successful life while left was. I do share things about Tom here and there but I don't really want to impede on the grief process that their family is going through. I don't want to impede on the process that Jess is going through, that her sister Christina is going through, that Jeannie is going to through. I want them to be able to grieve without constant reminders, much like I want to grieve without the reminders. But the thing is so just crazy in itself that here's two guys that were friends all of their lives together, and essentially they end up passing away together. I mean, that's really crazy. Tom was a second father for me. He had been there the last 6 weeks between my dad's death and his death really, really well for me. And now there's people in my life that I think I've talked a little bit about here and there that I didn't know how to reach out to them, didn't want them to know that I was struggling, things like that. But now I have this feeling that I can reach out to them. So there's Tom's and my dad's good friend, Mike, who I've built a relationship with. Actually, Mike texted me the other day. The Pirates snapped a 10-game losing streak, and he texted me and said, I hope the Pirates winning today, put a smile on your face, and then we had a good little baseball conversation together. That's something I needed. That's something that I know my dad might not have said the same thing to me. He might have just said, raise the Jolly Roger. Maybe that was it, but he wouldn't have said the things that Mike said. Like, Mike knows my feelings and everything, so it was really nice of him to do that, and really something that he didn't have to do at all, but I do appreciate that relationship that him and I have built in this last however long. I wasn't close to Mike like my dad was or like Tom was. I think a little bit of that had to do with I didn't want Mike to feel like I was annoying him growing up, but I am really thankful for him. My dad's former coworker Jim, that we've gone out to dinner with, that I've gone out to dinner with when I got my new job, him and his wife Kathy took me out to dinner. They are amazing people. I'm so thankful for them. And another good friend of my dad's and Tom's, Joe, and I didn't think anything like this was real. And I didn't break down until I saw Joe both at the hospital and at Tom's memorial. Again, I just want to wake up one day and it'll all be a dream. I remember when I first got the call that my dad was in the hospital when this all started. It was Tom on the other end of the phone telling me that my dad was breathing on his own. He was stable but very critical. He offered that he could come up to where I worked to drive me to the hospital that day. My boss even offered to take me to the hospital, but I wanted to do that by myself. Walking to my car, all I could think about was a song that I had heard before by Dean Lewis, How Do I Say Goodbye? He wrote this song for his own dad who was struggling with a cancer diagnosis. It's a really powerful song. When I got to the hospital, Tom was there waiting for me. That first night that we were so worried about my dad's not making it through the night, Tom really made that impact for me. My mom left the house around 11 p.m. because we were unsure if my dad was going to make it. His kidneys were failing. We kept getting calls from the hospital. I was laying in bed with Augusta around 2 a.m. when I heard someone coming up the stairs. I thought it was my dad, and I'm pretty sure Augusta thought the same thing, but it was Tom. He told me, and I protested, that we needed to go to the hospital. I wanted to stay in bed. I wasn't ready to accept my dad's loss yet, and I wanted it to all be a dream. He shared I needed to go to the hospital with him because I needed to be there for my mom. His daughter Jess was coming to spend the night with Augusta for us to make sure she was taken care of as well. After speeding to the hospital like a NASCAR driver, we made it, and my dad did improve throughout the night organically. We were able to avoid that dialysis with him. I mean, Tom, that was... I always knew that Tom was a quick driver, but I mean, we were speeding on roads that probably couldn't have taken the speed that we were on. It was really crazy for me. I think at one point I was like, hey, I think my dad's still going to be there when we get there. Like, we can get there alive. Like, we don't need to be speeding for this. It was moments like that with Tom where I could tell he was hurting because of what was happening with my dad, his best friend, what was going on in his mind. It was moments like that where it's unknown. It's very unknown. You don't know what's going to happen. And in that moment, I was numb. I was numb for the feelings that I was feeling, and I didn't really express how I was feeling either because I didn't know. I didn't know what I needed to prepare myself for. Although after 5 days, we did get our least desirable outcome. I wish Tom was there that day to tell me, but I think he had a colonoscopy or something that day, so he's unable to do so. My mom and my cousin, my dad's nephew Carl, my mom's nephew Jimbo, and my mom's college roommate Tammy came to the house to greet me to share with me that my dad wasn't going to wake up. News that I knew was going to come at some point, but wasn't sure when. News I dreaded. Tom told me the day after when my dad finally did pass, "You have gained a lot of fathers in this experience." Then when Tom also passed away 6 weeks later, I thought that I had these dads, but now I have one less. And then it was over skiing that my mom's nephew, Jimbo, my first cousin, told me that you only ever have one dad in your life, but you'll have a lot of mentors. It was a message like that that I needed to hear. I needed to hear that because at the end of the day, both of the people that I thought were my dads are now both gone. This process has been really difficult. I really wish today when I was cleaning that it didn't strike me. I mean, I knew that he's been gone since, it's almost gonna be 10 months. I knew he's been gone since, it's gonna be 9 months. 9 months, 7 months. Whatever date it's going to be, I knew that he was gone. He's not coming back. There's nothing that I can do to change that. I really thought that there was a lot of life to spend with him that was going to be coming. Something I always thought about after he passed was, why? I know I'll never have that answer, but why? My mom would always say that there was one thing that she wanted to ask God whenever she got to heaven, which was, why is there mosquitoes? But now she has two things. Why are there mosquitoes, and why Jim? I have three things. Why are there mosquitoes? Why Jim? And why Tom? At some point in my life, I feel like when people leave, it's needed. But I didn't think it was needed that my dad left. I didn't think it was needed for Tom to leave as well. At some point, yes, we are all going to go and our loved ones are all going to go and we are going to be with them eventually. But timing is everything. The time that it took for my dad and Tom to both leave this earth, 6 weeks. 6 weeks between each other. It's a pain that I will never feel, probably for a long time. Hopefully for a long time. I don't want to feel this pain again for a while. My dad was my best friend. And if not that, Tom was a pretty close best friend as well, if not a father figure for me. It's that feeling of numbness. It's that whole thing that grief comes and it goes, grief ebbs and it flows. You never know when it's coming, you never know when it's going to stop, and you never really have an in-between. I've tried my best to fill my time in these last 9 months, but it's difficult. It's really, really difficult. I was writing a book, and I still am in the process of it. I texted my aunt before I started to record this to say that, hey, I'm sorry I haven't been in contact. I've been in a bit of a writer's block lately. But there are things that I want to add to this book before we submit the final whatever on November 20th, the 1 year mark. I think something I want to add in there is this feeling of numbness. I started to rewrite a chapter to say that you're not alone because we're all going to go through something like this. I threw in a chapter about dogs grieving. I threw something in there about self-care. Just things that we all have to do to eventually get by. I really hope that this book is going to be relatable. I had said from the start that if I could impact 5 or 6 people, that would be enough for me, but at the end of the day, I think it's really going to impact lots of people. Just like this podcast. This podcast has been something really interesting for me as far as my grief process goes, because when I write things, I don't really have to feel that emotion. I'm getting that emotion out on pen and paper, but I'm not really feeling it. When I'm talking, it's totally different. I have to feel that emotion. Those words have to come out of my mouth, and I have to feel that emotion when I say those things. I was really proud of my mom recently. My mom used to cry every time she said that my dad had left us. She used to cry every single time. But now people will ask her that question, or she will have to tell that statement to somebody, and she doesn't cry. And she loved him. There's no doubt in my mind that she loved him and that she misses him every day, but every day is a new day for us. Every day is a new day for us. Every day is a new encounter in this journey. And I was really proud of her for not crying that moment, those moments that she told other people that he passed. It's difficult. It's really difficult. And I've said that so many times before. I realize how difficult that is, and I realize how unfortunate this is, and how crazy and everything. But at the end of the day, we're getting through it. At the end of the day, we are making it. It's not the way I chose for my life to go. It's not the way that I wanted things to work out, but I can't control these outcomes. That's the frustrating thing about all of this. I just can't control the outcomes. At the end of a week, after the end of a month, we're almost at the end of a year without my dad. November used to be such a happy month for me. Thanksgiving, my birthday, then Christmas came. Now it's like we're going to have the anniversary of my dad's passing. Thanksgiving. Thankful for what, I might ask. Thankful for the life that he lived. Thankful that he was taken from us too soon. Thankful for him not suffering. There's a lot of things we'd be thankful for. I wish I was thankful for him still being here. That's the one thing I do wish that was the most thankful here. Thankful that we're still alive. We can remember him. We can remember him and be thankful for the life that he lived and the life that he guided for us and the life that he created for us. We can enjoy our lives remembering him. It's very interesting. It's going to be, I think the way it plays out is that it's his anniversary, Thanksgiving, Ohio State versus Michigan at Ohio State, on my birthday actually. And that was a game that I remember going to with my dad before, Ohio State Michigan game on my birthday. One of the best experiences of my life. I think Ohio State lost, but you know. Can't win them all. Grief is a feeling unlike any other. It's unlike any other feeling I've ever witnessed in life. Yes, I've had depression. Yes, I've suffered with anxiety. Yes, I have ADHD. Grief is the most difficult. Because I don't know when it's going to come, I don't know when it's going to hit me, I don't know when it's going to stop. Grief comes and goes, and it ebbs and flows. Thank you for listening to this episode. It's been an honor and a privilege to share these sentiments of my grief with people. Like I said, when I write things down, I can get that writing out without expressing a whole lot of emotion. But when I have to talk it out, that's a whole different animal. But I'm really thankful for the people that do tune into this and that do listen to these segments, because it's very important for my coping skills to continue to have this podcast. So yeah, thank you again. This is AJ from Ebbs and Flows. Thanks for listening.